The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Head to StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world.
Hello there.
You want the bad news?
Roger, roger.
The Force, it's calling to you.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
That's not how the Force works.
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
This is madness.
Let the past die. Kill it.
It's a trap! Fulfill your destiny.
No!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the TSW Roundtable. I am, once again, your moderator, Robert Cast, and we have, again, a massive show for you. Apparently, there was a little movie that came out last week. Just a quick warning. This is heavy spoilers for The Last Jedi. I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, you have seen it once to 10 times, but just in case, we don't want to spoil this for anybody. So we have a huge show. Well, first, I'm going to introduce my co-hosts from other shows from around the Star Wars Commonwealth. First, I'm going to introduce Carlos Candido from Sith Disturbers via Tumbling Saber. You want to say hi to everybody, Carlos?
Hello there.
Hello, Carlos. Welcome to the Last Jedi Reaction Show.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. And of course, this wouldn't be a proper reaction show if we didn't have the Grand Admiral himself from Talk Star Wars proper, Mark.
Hey, everybody. Carlos just stole my line.
Oh.
My hello there.
Hello there.
Mark, this is my third time on the round table, and everybody jumped ahead of me, so I had to get it in.
Oh, my.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Now, if you remember last month's show, I had a very hostful show. I think we had five different podcasts represented from around the Commonwealth, from different showrunners and show hosts. Now we got a very heavy VIP show, so I'm just going to whip it around the table real quick. I want everybody to say hello to Dave Donovan. You want to say hi, Dave?
How's it going? Good morning. Nice to see you guys to drop by.
Hey, welcome out. And where are we talking to you, Dave? Where are you from?
Oh, smelly old Dublin, rainy, cold Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, well, at least it's not cold and miserable Canada, Southern. No.
It's not even snow. It's just rain.
No. Okay, next we have Adam Sheldon. You want to say hi, Adam?
Evening, Rob. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. And good where are you Adam. Talking to us from?
I'm talking from near Brighton in East Sussex, UK.
Oh, well, there we go. Well, you know what we should do? We should equal things out a bit. I want you to say hello to a friend of mine who is actually about 45 minutes south of me and can relate to the snow problems we're having, Jay Winkworth. Say hi, Jay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jay.
You.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Excellent. I think that's everybody, but no. Oh, wait. I wouldn't. I would be Marist. I'm just joking. Oh, I could feel
Good
it through the
audio.
I could feel it through the Skype. Rob Phillips, you want to say hi, Rob?
No. Yeah. Hi. How are you doing?
Excellent, Rob. It's great to have you back. And I think you're all veterans of the roundtable, except Dave. This is your first time sitting Virgin. In. Yes. Yeah, so
Dorian just brought me here.
Awesome. So here we are. We're here to discuss The Last Jedi. It's finally upon us. It finally happened. It's outstanding. But you know what? Before we discuss, I was talking to another Canadian friend of mine, and he wanted to hop on real fast and say hi to everybody all the way from the Tumbling Saber in Montreal. Kyle Russo, you want to say hello to the roundtable?
Well, guys, how's it going?
Kyle.
There he is. Kyle.
Now, the door was cracked open, and I had to get in here. There's a bunch of people on the line here that I've never had the chance to speak to. So when Rob cracked the door open for me, I just barreled right through it. So, Mark, Adam, Dave, Rob Phillips, how's it going, everybody?
Yes.
Hello, nice to hear from you.
Kyle, how's you, buddy?
Ugh.
Kyle, you forgot.
I'm good now.
You forgot Carlos, Kyle.
Oh, hey, Carlos.
Yeah. Oh, here's...
I said it. I had to steal my thunder. This was the only time I'm representing someone. Yeah.
I'm not staying around. I'm not staying around. I just wanted to drop in to say hi.
Yeah, and here's something I wanted to do real quick, guys. Kyle Russo, I want you to introduce you to Mark. You want to say hi to Mark for the first time ever?
Mark, this is what it takes for you and I to get together and talk?
I know, it takes Rob. This is amazing, isn't it? This is actually the first time we've spoken in person.
Yes, and well, I know.
I was telling Mr. Cast, it's ridiculous. We've been talking for the better part of 2 years. The Commonwealth is building well underway, and we've never had a voice call.
It's crazy. It's your brother, of course.
Now I know everybody listening in podcast land might think, what are these guys yammering on about? Well, Kyle and Mark are founding members of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. You guys have never actually spoken before ever.
It's a joke.
Yes.
I know. It feels like it because we're in constant contact, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've gotten to know each other quite well over the last couple of years, but we've never been able to sync up for any call of any kind.
No. Well, we'll have to do maybe this Hostful that everyone's talking about.
Yes. Awesome.
We'll
okay.
Get on to the Hostful.
So here we go. Kyle, I know you got to run. Thanks for popping in and saying hi to everybody. And it's really great. We can make this Christmas miracle happen. We can actually get...
Good to speak to you, Kyle. Finally.
The two busiest guys in the Commonwealth. We can finally get them face to face for 2 seconds.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Moving mountains.
Yes.
Later, boss.
Carlos, you can talk to Kyle every all day. So, all right, here we go. First of all, Last Jedi. Jeez. Everybody's seen it, so let's just cut to the chase. I'm gonna pass it off to Dave first. Dave, what are your thoughts?
Really, yeah, not happy you said that to Kenny.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on The Last Jedi?
Man, it takes one or two, and then you've got to do a few passes. But when it lands, it lands. And I think we're going to be still unpacking stuff from this when episode 9 drops. I think there's a lot in here. A lot. And it's subtle and it's classic storytelling. It's new storytelling and it's filmmaking we've never seen, I don't really think. He takes all his influences. Oh, I'm going to go on.
Yep.
Go to the next guy.
Go to the next guy. Okay. Rob Phillips. Now we got you on here. So, what were you think? You can actually. What were your first impressions of the movie? And now, what were your impressions after you saw it the second time?
Yeah, it's the first pass. I didn't like it, and I don't know why. I'm still trying to figure it out. I think I was kind of focused too much on the negatives first time I seen it.
Right. Yeah.
Second pass. Totally different kettle of fish. Came out of the cinema last night a lot more confident with the film. The niggles are still there. I still notice them, but they don't bother me. I even notice some more pieces, but it's definitely one of these films that you've got to rewatch. Yeah, move on to the next guy, because I'll probably just break off onto a tangent, but definitely worth giving it more credit than I gave it originally, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to jump to one of the hosts real first. Carlos, you're an OT guy. I know I'm not going to give your age on the round table here, but do you think I'm hearing this quite a lot from Star Wars fans? It's do you see it? Can you see the movie in this light where it's not what you expected? So maybe it just takes a couple more viewings to digest.
I loved it leaving the theater on Thursday night after the first night. There were little things that bugged me, but nothing for me to harp on. And I actually got on the defensive, the protective swing for the first 24 hours. I kind of stopped that a little last night, and I watched it again today, and I just love it even more. It actually caught me. I caught myself with tears in my eyes for a few of the tough lines, and I like it. What I didn't like from the first pass kind of, you know, washed over a little bit. I wasn't a big fan of the Canto Bight, the whole casino deal. It kind of took me out of Star Wars, but besides that, I mean, I just freaking love the movie.
Awesome. Okay, Adam, what are your initial thoughts on The Last Jedi?
I was lost for words first viewing, and I was literally an emotional wreck. Not with any hatred at all. I was completely overwhelmed at how beautiful and stunning and emotive it was. Second viewing, even more so. Every scene that created an emotion and an enthrallment did exactly the same thing. And we got back an hour ago now from my fourth viewing.
Whoa.
And it's just an incredible film. And I it took me quite a bit to refrain from any sort of backlash. I just let everybody just say their bit and look at their points to see where they were coming from. I think if I was the age I was when Empire came out, I was 10 in 80. So I was 7 in 77. So really the perfect age for that. I would probably feel the same way I do now about Empire. As a kid, it was just, where has my Star Wars gone? But right. this film for me is 5 stars. It's beautiful. It's stunning. And I can't wait to see it 2,500 more times.
Fantastic. Okay. I'm going to go about a half hour south to where I am. Jay, what did you think of The Last Jedi?
I've seen it twice. The first time in the theater was a very weird experience. The credits came up and I didn't know what I had just watched. I didn't like the movie the first time I saw it, but yet at the same time still enjoyed myself in the theater because there were so many great moments and the movie was visually stunning. Even if some of the big swings that the film took didn't really land for me.
Right.
The second time I saw it, I would say that I no longer dislike the film. It seems this film was about balance, and that's what this seemed to me. If I was to rank it, it was right in the middle. It's not good or not bad. I don't know if I have to see it again, but some of the notes still didn't hit with me. I don't think it's a bad film at all. It it's not for me yet. That's the feeling that I came away with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and obviously not alone, because here we are. You mean like I'd say this has been divisive. I've heard a lot. Mark, now you know the opinions of the movie, and again, we're not here to put it down. We're not here to defend it. This is just diehard Star Wars fans getting together to talk about this latest Star Wars movie we've seen. So, Mark, do you want to talk more on that? Like, what do you think about this divisiveness of the whole movie?
I'm heartbroken by it. I'm really struggling with the division that is created. And I don't know whether that's because I'm on the other side of it this time around. Maybe 2 years ago when The Force Awakens came out, there was a lot of people then saying that was a retread of A New Hope and they were disappointed and they felt let down. Yeah, people left the theatre. They felt really disappointed. They felt kind of guilty, like Rob was saying. Guilt is a Star Wars fan not really digging the movie. And I know because two of the hosts of my show both left their theatres feeling that way. They didn't really enjoy The Force Awakens. So this time around, I felt like I was on the other side of the equation where I left the theatre feeling a little bit guilty because I'd only kind of enjoyed the film. And I've said I enjoyed it like 90%. There was 10% that I was troubled by. And they were the things that kept tripping me up and pulling me out.
Yeah. I felt the exact same way. Well, I saw it. I thought it was awesome.
Space Leia.
Yes, that's Space Leia. Yeah.
Mary Poppins. Space Mary Poppins.
Yes, exactly. So there's just things that... there's things that pulled me out. There's things that I really did. I hazard to say I love the movie, but I think I'm with a lot of you guys with looking at it, going with Jay and with Rob. I'm like, this isn't quite my Star Wars. And you know what? I think what I've reconciled with myself, I'm like, this is a great movie. I was entertained, but it's passing. It's Force Awakens did a lot of lip service for the OT, the old guys, but now it's almost like this is the official torch passing. We thought it was the last one, but this one you can really feel it. And I think a lot of us OT fans are struggling letting go of that torch. If that makes any sense at all.
There's a moment in that too, because that torch is now, he's just burned down kind of everything. He's burned down all our expectations. He's burned down everything about the Jedi.
Yeah.
And Yoda's the one lighting the match. Do you know what I mean? Literally from the sky. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's kind of, he's reframed and he's given JJ a completely blank slate. Like, JJ has a massive field to play in now. That's a positive.
Yes.
I think.
So Rob, are you kind of feeling the same way when you see this movie? Is it?
It's, I mean, with The Force Awakens and like the Rogue One, I left the cinema not disliking the films. I really liked them and enjoyed them. But there was, again, niggles, but I still liked 90% of the movie.
Right.
With this one, I came out and I was with a couple of friends and we're all kind of diehards. And we honestly thought Star Wars was broken. It made me, I mean, the guys on the Facebook page and everything will tell you, actually, I was angry, which was weird, and kind of at myself, you know, for hating a Star Wars movie. It was like this guilt. And again, people were saying, go see it for a second time. And I was like, why should I? You wouldn't do it with any other film, you see. So why should I do it just because I like Star Wars? But I did heed the advice and go back in. And I'm not saying I love The Last Jedi. Don't get me wrong. Some of it's absolutely brilliant. And I'll probably tangent into that later on. And I've been thinking a lot more positive today. And some of the little things I've noticed Rian Johnson's done with the film is brilliant. And I think it's more than just the storyline he's trying to change. He's trying to change us as fans as well, to get a little bit kind of deep into it, you know, about letting the past die and all this kind of thing.
Right.
You know, but I'm not what I would call... I'll just go off on one for a minute. I did really sit and think about it, and I'm not what you would call an OT OG. You know, I'm not all about... I wrote down my list. The guys were posting their films in their favourite order, and I noticed my top three films. One is one of the newer films. One is original trilogy. And one is a prequel. So I like all the films. But what I noticed about the films was I liked all the dark, miserable ones, like Rogue One, Revenge of the Sith, Empire. Yeah. You know, they're all darker in tone. But no, I've definitely kind of came to terms with it. And there's things now in the film I'm really enjoying. And I think on further watchings, I will start to increase, you know, how much I enjoyed it. But the first time I came out of the cinema, I've honestly never felt so let down by a Star Wars film. But again, I went off on one on Facebook the other day about the internet is turning us all into cynics. It's too easy to get your opinion out there or listen to other people's opinions. I mean, I said I left the prequels after the cinema and I was walking on air. Loved it. Star Wars in the cinema, not a problem. And then the internet happened and then now it's like, can't stand the look of Jar Jar Binks or, you know, the writing and Attack of the Clones. So I think you've got to kind of take a step back as well and go and enjoy it for yourself.
Yeah.
And the acting, there's not a lot to take away from the prequels.
No, but there is bits in the prequels I really enjoyed.
Oh,
you know?
I do think,
yeah. And, that's kind of my tangent on it. It does, it's just, for me personally, it's worth giving it another shot, but I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I didn't feel better after seeing it another time, because I certainly did. You know, it improved vastly for me.
Good.
Rob, I just want to come up there and give you a cuddle, mate.
I'll DM you my address, shall we?
It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
And you know what? I think, especially if anybody knows, it's everybody in this group, especially like with myself and Carlos and Mark, because we podcast regularly about Star Wars and the rest of you guys who are literal Star Wars VIPs. Everybody we know outside of our little Facebook group and our little world, everybody's running up to us saying, what'd you think? You're the Star Wars guy. I'm sure we're all the Star Wars guy in our family. I'm sure we're all the Star Wars guy in our little groups. So as soon as we left the theater, everybody was just asking us, what did you think of the movie? What'd you think? Do you think that I'm gonna push it to Jay? Do you think that added more pressure on us? Like, because hey, you're the Star Wars guy. What'd you think?
No, I don't really think so. For me personally, I work from home.
Right.
So the people that I talk to Star Wars about, I'm not at a water cooler daily.
Right.
Anything else like that? So the people that I talk to are people like you.
Right.
We're already in the same kind of sphere. So anybody I talk with online, we're all running in the same circles.
Okay. All right. So Adam, do you think there's any validity to my suggestion that thinking that because you're hey, I'm sure you're the Star Wars guy in your family.
Absolutely. I'm still trying to work out why there is so much hostility.
Yeah,
I honestly don't get it. I really don't. I'm sorry.
No.
I respect everybody's opinions on it, but I'm just not seeing the faults. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I'm really not seeing it. I was a massive fan of Looper and Brick, so I was already a Johnson fan. I'm seeing potentially what is going to come next from what he's put in there. I don't think he's destroyed the Jedi at all. Actually, I think if you look closely, and you know that, you know, we know it, Luke was the last Jedi. It always has been.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for some new Jedi to come on board. So, you know, and this child at the end, well, you know what? Rey's got the books. We're going to see a whole new training school, I'm hoping, and recruitment, and the resistance is going to build with a whole load of Jedi. And the only thing I think we didn't see a lot of, actually, is potential new toys and figures.
Yeah.
Because I do think, actually, I didn't think to myself, oh, I must get that.
Right.
I really didn't. You know, we've seen AT-ATs before and we've seen a foul before and so on. But honestly, I really do think this is a almost perfect film. I really do. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but, don't apologize.
Attack of the Clones is the only one that I think is very average.
What were you going to say, Jay?
Oh, I was just going to say, don't apologize for loving the film. I think that's how I wanted to feel. Like, I honestly expected to be on this podcast today talking about my second or third or first favorite Star Wars movie. Everything I saw in the trailers blew me away. Yeah. Getting Luke back. And you know what? And it wasn't, for me, it's not anger. I'm bummed. I was looking forward to this movie and it didn't hit with me. And I'm disappointed, not in the movie, but just in my reaction to it and my feelings to it. And it's just a bummer feeling.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. So I'm glad that you feel that way. I wish I did. I wish I did so that I could have these great conversations, just tell everybody how much I loved it from start to finish.
It doesn't mean it won't, Jay. It could. I mean,
it definitely could. It definitely could. It was a little, it was marginally better for me the second time. It might be better for me after episode 9 comes out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. If you'll allow me the time, I just want to a view into our side here with James. When we left the theater on Thursday night, James loved the movie. He thought it was a great theatrical experience, which it is.
Right.
But he started questioning and I didn't like this and I didn't like that. And I'm not on board with what they did with Luke and, you know, this, that, and the other. But he watched it twice yesterday. He watched it at 2:10 and then at 5:35. So, and he's come around a little accepting maybe a little bit more, and the things that he loves more, but the things that he doesn't like about it, he still doesn't like them. And that's more a reflection on the viewer, I would say. Like everybody here has been saying, you know, like I personally am not a fan of the Canto Bite scenes.
Right.
I didn't like the milking of that whatever creature that was gross.
That was terrible.
But besides that, I mean, you know, when a movie is good is when it makes us question ourselves. And I think that's what Rian Johnson did in this episode. So
yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Well, let's have a quick. We're gonna be doing this for the rest of the show, but just quick around the table. Dave. Do you
yes.
What does best thing you liked about the movie and the thing you can change or leave out. What do you think? Right off the top of your head.
The best thing about the movie was Ray and Luke training.
Right.
And if I could change one more thing about the movie, I'd have more of that.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm going to swing it back all the way to Mark. Mark, what do you think? I know we're going to get your opinion on Talk Star Wars, but we can give us a little teaser here.
Yeah, favorite thing, Ray. Absolute hands down favorite thing, Ray. The thing I'd probably dial back a little bit if I could is some of the questionable humor. And I know that they're playing to a broad audience. So we got humor aimed at us with like the General Hux on hold thing. And then we had humor that was aimed at kids, I think like BB, I'm calling him BB-8 TST. Some of that sort of stuff I could live without. But, you know, they're few and far between.
Yeah, okay.
Mark, do you think the porgs worked? I think the porgs were perfect. Let's just get this out of the way. The porgs worked. They weren't too much. They weren't too little.
They were just right. Yeah.
And I would dread them as well.
Just right.
I really wasn't.
Everybody was going porg and freaking out.
Every single scene that they were in, I think, was a home run.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
especially
everybody.
Especially with the Skywalker lightsaber, where one was staring right down the end of the Skywalker.
No, but the bit with Chewie in the cockpit. There's one with Chewie in the cockpit. There's one sitting on his shoulder. There's one tearing the fabric off Han's chair. But there's another one down the front, and he looks like Daft Punk. He's got like a little metal thing around his head, and he's like, it's amazing.
Daft Punk.
Awesome. I think everybody was a little worried that we would get, I mean, because I know the Ewoks were divisive, and I know Jar Jar was divisive. Every time they put something little cutesy in the movie, we get, ooh, I don't know. Okay, yeah, no, it worked. Everybody loved them.
Yeah, there was no porn fatigue.
No. Okay, so Rob Phillips, what's your favorite thing about the movie, and what would you change or leave out, or what were you thinking?
I don't have a standout favorite part as just yet, but I do love the whole Snoke, Rey, Kylo confrontation scene. It's really good. It's the whole theme, like I said earlier, sorry, I'm going off on one again, letting the past die, and almost every named character in that film had to let something die or kill something. You know, Finn had to sort Phasma out. Luke, you know, and I loved how Luke and Kylo were kind of paralleled. Kylo couldn't bring himself to kill Leia, and Luke couldn't bring himself to burn the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it took outside influences, either the TIE fighters or Yoda, to get them to move on.
Right.
Same with Kylo destroying his helmet. I think that's him killing him trying to be Vader. You know, that's the point where he just tries to stop being something he's not and just being his own man. And that led up to him standing up to Snoke and becoming what he was meant to be.
Hugely important part of the film, that.
Absolutely huge.
Massive. Yeah. And it's the same with, you know, Snoke keeps comparing him to Vader. You'll never be the Vader I was looking for and all this kind of thing. And I think Kylo finally going, you're right, I'm not going to be Vader.
What do you think that's about, Rob? Do you think is that Snoke just playing on Kylo's weakness? He's implanted that insecurity in Ben Solo, isn't he? And he's keeps pushing that pressure point.
I think it's kind of both. I think it's Snoke taking advantage, and like Luke Skywalker says later on, it's the Skywalker blood and his hubris, and maybe that's like a Skywalker trait that they believe their own hype, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, I think Kylo's probably realised as well that Vader was flawed, because Vader couldn't bring himself to kill his family, and this is why he's so determined to do it, you know, is to cut off Vader's weakness. And moving on, and I'm really enjoying that parts of it. It's absolutely brilliant. And the same
Kylo
way...
Kylo is an important, a really important Kylo, character.
He got a lot
character.
Of emo-based hate at the start of it. But Adam Driver's killing it, and he really is killing that character, man. He's just
Yeah.
Just on that, it's amazing to see all those. I haven't seen one person online anywhere go on about emo Kylo Ren anymore.
Yeah.
Not in any review. No. The whole thing.
No,
like Adam Driver's after going, this is what I was doing. And they're after getting it. So now they find different ways to go at it and complain. So now they're complaining about Rey now, and Daisy particularly going, she's one dimensional. She had nothing to do. Well, she has to be a counterfoil to him, which is to be completely
at peace. I don't understand that. Don't understand that criticism at all. She's not at all. Incredibly complex.
I always looked at Daisy Ridley as a child, as a young woman, but like, you know, still a teen that personally as a man of my age, there's no physical attraction, but I actually fell in love with her in this movie in the sense that I would want to protect her and I would want to be the man that could like show her place in everything. And there's this such fragility in her eyes.
Right.
And she played it so well. But I want to come back to Adam Driver and his performance. For me, I was expecting, as Dave was just alluding to, the emo Kylo Ren. We didn't get that. We got, honestly, this is an Oscar-nominated performance that if I've ever seen one, he deserves to be at least nominated.
Yeah.
At least nominated for that performance. His performance was better than Mark Hamill's. His performance was, out of the whole cast, him and John Boyega, I think, really turned a corner.
Yeah.
They really turned a corner. And I was not one of these people that was... pooping on the performances from The Force Awakens, because I thought it was well directed as well, but this was like next level.
Yep,
Adam Driver is probably one of the best actors with his face.
Oh yes,
I've seen in a long time.
I think he'd hate the Oscar. I think he'd hate the nomination. Adam Driver personally, I think he'd be like, for this role, I think he'd reject it. He'd be like, he wouldn't be into it. I don't think. It's an amazing performance.
He seems so laid back. I don't think he'd even notice if he got an Oscar nom.
Yeah. Well,
right. It's kind of just
when we talk about how smooth his body is, it's absolutely ludicrous. The man has 0% body hair.
Dolphin.
You know what? There's a tangent. Rob, can I make a tangent? Can I make it just a small tangent?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
The whole idea that they're having these four Skype talks, I think he's being honest with her the whole entire time. They don't know that it's Snoke bridging them.
Yeah.
But no. He's being every single word. He's being completely honest. Yeah. And I think that topless moment is a visual cue for that. He's telling the truth. He's bearing himself.
That's right. Yeah,
I think he's lying to her is that he's repeating what Snoke is doing to him when it comes to about her parents. That's when he's kind of lying a little bit. I think he doesn't know anything about her parents, or maybe he does, but I think he's just being completely bare and honest with her in that all those little talks they have. And that's what makes her uncomfortable about the whole thing, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the only time he does lie to her is when they're face to face.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I agree 100% with that.
Well, because also too on Force Skype, I wish this Skype was as good as Force Skype, because that was amazing. Like,
touch my hand, Rob. Touch my hand.
Yeah. No. I'm not taking my don't take the shit off. No.
Oh, Carlos, please.
All right. Okay. And also too, I was just about to say I think they're linked by their minds. You got no other choice but to be honest. If we're linking by thought, you know what I mean? I know they're audibly speaking, but they were linking through the Force. So,
well, he was caught off guard, right? Yeah. So Kylo was caught off guard, and he actually says it. He's not doing this.
He interferes with her more than she doesn't reach him ever. It's always him coming into her.
Yes, it is.
Pretty much.
I don't know. I think it's like, holy cow, the phone just ring on both sides.
Yeah.
I think it's more that, and he actually says, you can't be doing this because it would kill you. And it's So there's...
And also too with Carlos, just on that with him saying you can't be doing this because it would kill you sets up our climax at the end of the movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So obviously, all right. So
yeah.
There you go.
How does that relate to
See,
how does that relate to Luke at the end, though?
because Luke did the forced connection with everybody.
He projected.
But Luke is using that island is obviously an amplifier.
Of course.
That's where he reaches to Leia.
I don't think Ray moved those rocks either by herself.
Ryan Johnson making this movie, he slipped that in there saying, you can't reach across the galaxy and talk to me like this and be this vision because it would kill you, because obviously it pays off for the huge sunset. I'm going to steer this right back in here. Rob Phillips, I was on you, I think. What would you change? What would you change about this movie?
The rest of it.
Okay.
No, it's my biggest gripe is Holdo. Can't stand her.
Oh, right.
Rob.
The whole Holdo.
Oh, no. Am I alone on this?
I love Holdo.
No.
Oh, thank
Holdo,
you, Mark.
There we go. Okay.
She exists just to not tell Poe her plan.
Yeah.
And then Poe can send Finn and Rose off to do their never-ending story through Canto Bight. And Finn can kill Phasma and complete his kind of arc.
Yep.
And I just think it just felt forced. And then the hyperdrive jump through the fleet, thus destroying it. I just don't like her as a character. And then she does this turn at the end, and you turn out she's just actually a little Princess Leia.
Okay.
To feel bad.
Okay, Mark. Holdo defense.
I need to defend Holdo.
Okay.
I think that this is just my observation. I think Holdo perhaps represents what Leia imagines Poe could be. She represents somebody that could put the needs of the Resistance ahead of herself and be the leader. And as Leia pointed out to Poe when he took all the bombers into action, she said there are many heroes in the field, but there were no leaders, because he was still the hot shot. He was still the top gun, right?
Yeah.
And Holdo is an example of what he could be, doing what is not popular, doesn't make her the hero, makes her, in fact, the subject of accusations and ridicule, mm-hmm. as we see from Poe.
And mutiny.
Yeah. She's willing to put herself on the line for that. So that's what she kind of represents. And that sacrifice at the end is kind of the pinnacle of that.
Yep.
I totally agree with Poe's arc. I mean, I said about the past dying, and Poe needs to let the hotshot thing part of his life die and become the leader. And he steps up at the end and, you know, Leia obviously says, what are you looking at me for? Go, you know. And he needs that arc, and I totally agree, but I just don't like the way it was done. If you know what I mean, it's. I think they could have handled it better. It's just.
I think she was poorly written.
It's not that I dislike her. I just think the whole arc was kind of clunky. If you know what I mean, it's.
Yeah.
I don't know how I could change it or anything. It's just I know why she did her things, and I know why it's there. It's just this little bit in my head.
Leia seemed to be in cahoots about it. It was weird.
Yeah.
I
just think it was weirdly handled. I do agree with the arc and where it took Poe and everything like that. I get all the, you know, passing of the torch kind of thing and him becoming a leader rather than just this hotshot. Get it. Totally get
it. Did he get the whole fleet killed? I mean, he pretty much did.
Yeah. Well, Leia's had tons of experience with hotshot, fly by the seat of their pants, shoot them up, guys. Like, she married one. All right, so I'm gonna jump. I gotta get everybody here. So we have divisive opinions about this movie. So I'm gonna go yin and yang. So I'm gonna flip it over to Adam. Favorite thing about the movie, and what would you change if you had to? And you had to pick something.
You have to.
Adam, what? Okay. The floor is yours.
I would fix Yoda. Actually,
okay.
I think we could have seen more and better from Yoda. I think we could have seen more and better from him.
The coconuts, though.
I kind of agree with Rob. Holdo, it's more her smile when she's smiling at Poe, and I didn't like that very much. It was kind of like she was really belittling him. Honestly, Daisy Ridley did an amazing job. Adam Driver was fantastic. Carrie was beautiful. Hamill was amazing. I loved the officers in the first couple of scenes. Hux, now his gags now, after the fourth viewing, his gags now just sort of just go over me. I don't find them quite as funny.
I love him.
But actually, what I do love is the fact that it's part of his character. Just the same as at the beginning with Hux on hold. That's very much a Poe's character. Do you know what? It's just such a brilliantly written film. I really can't find much of fault at all, to be honest, at all. Really at all. I wouldn't change anything. I'm sorry.
This is one thing. If I could jump in.
Canto Bight, can I say, actually, that, again, we've had every film where we've had a little bit of this. I mean, we've had a little bit of those kind of moments where it drifts off to follow it. But the way that he has brought all of these characters and situations cohesively towards the finale is absolutely astoundingly brilliant.
Yep.
Yeah. Coming back to Yoda, if I can, just one second.
Yeah, of course.
Coming back to Yoda, I love the Yoda scene, but there's one thing on the second viewing that I caught that I heard other people saying, that the Jedi texts were not destroyed because they're on the Falcon.
No. Yeah, they are.
She's a scavenger.
So has she stolen them?
She took them. The moment Luke said, you know, it's gonna die, she just thought, well, I'm not having any of this, and if I take them, so we didn't see that.
Yoda kind of protects her,
absolutely. That's what he does, he knows everything, he's watching her.
You know, Luke hesitates, and then when he turns around to actually go in there, Yoda's like, no, this is perfect, this is gonna push Luke to
absolutely.
What does he say? He says something like the girl Rey knows exactly what she needs to know.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
She doesn't even need the
book. And again, Leia says at the end, you have everything you need.
Yeah.
She's got everything. Awesome. So, but I would like to have seen perhaps a little bit more of Luke's reaction when Rey was talking about Han. I would have liked to have seen that. We saw him sitting there.
Going into the Falcon
and contemplation. R2 comes in. I mean, again, that hologram moment is just...
That's part of the 30 minutes that they cut out of the film, boys.
Yeah.
What did he say to R2? That's a cheap move.
It's a cheap move. Okay, so Adam, your favorite part of the movie, one thing. What was your... I know you can... Without saying the whole thing, favorite part.
I'm gonna say it is Luke walking through that exit on Crate.
Perfect. Jay, favorite thing about the movie?
That's a hard question. That is really, to be honest.
That's why I get paid the big Star Wars bucks. They're worthless here on Earth. Jay, favorite thing, and I know it was divisive for you, but what would you change, like, off the top of your head?
Well, large arcing-wise, my favorite thing about the movie was Kylo Ren, but we've already covered him, and I'm sure we can expect the shirtless 6-inch variant coming soon on that.
Yeah.
But with
chest hair application.
Oh, jeez. I knew I'd regret taking us down this path.
Naked Kylo.
That's it. I'm out. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
singular moment was Holdo going to light speed through that. It was so visually stunning. I don't know if it's the most, but it might be the most visually stunning thing I've seen in a Star Wars film.
It was a beautiful ten seconds of silence.
The silence was perfect. It was so beautiful, and the audience went silent. Like, nobody was fumbling around for candy or eating popcorn. It just stopped both times. After I'm done here with my negative, I'd be interesting to hear people's thoughts on if you think maybe that was a missed opportunity, if that should have been Leia that did that, because that would have been a beautiful send-off.
Maybe.
The only thing is that you then lose the Luke reunion at the end and how tight you are. And it, see, I would be willing to lose that for that moment, but some people don't. That's just personal. That comes up to personal opinion.
Yep.
So we discussed that a bit. For something that I would change, this is really fan service-y and it's really surface level stuff, but you know, I really wanted to see a Luke Skywalker lightsaber fight in this.
Yeah.
It didn't. The ending was beautiful. The way that he faded on the rock, and it kind of almost felt, I said to Mark, we were chatting earlier, it almost felt Filoni-esque at the end, that kind of trick they pulled where it was, they were setting up for this big fight. It's just so badass. He walks through the doors, but he's not really there and there's no lightsaber fight. Like I said, the end was beautiful. The twin sons, I loved that, but I felt we missed something there. And if you weren't going to do it there, maybe even in a flashback with the Knights of Ren, or if they had have done the temple differently. That's not the movie we got, and I don't know if it would have fit in well with it, because that's not really the story Johnson seemed to want to tell. It's something I think I maybe needed, and maybe that's partially why the film didn't go down as well for me. If he had have done that thing at the end, even, and then if he had still lived and he got in the X-Wing, I think even then it would have played better, because I think I might have thought that, hey, we might get that moment in the next film. But now he's gone, and that chance is gone to have that last Luke Saber or Luke Skywalker lightsaber fight. Yeah. And I think that left me feeling really empty, and it's part of the problem I have with this film.
Yeah. All right.
Good
okay.
Points. Good points.
Good point, so points.
Yeah, and good points by all. I think we went around. I should take my turn. My disappointment was Leia floating in space. I know we mentioned that a couple times. I didn't like it. The casino, I know they had to do something with Finn, and they had to set up the Phasma thing at the end, but I was watching those when they were in the stables with those, whatever they were, horse kangaroos, or I don't know, I got to ask
him. 5 years?
Horseroos. I questioned myself. I'm like, oh no, am I not going to like this? Like, I was enjoying the movie. And I'm like, oh no. Like, you got that Phantom Menace, like, oh, hang on. Like, I was enjoying it, but I'm like, no. Of course, the movie for me, it redeemed itself. Favorite moments was Snoke dies, and there's Kylo and Rey fighting the guards, and then Rey's, of course, I love the lightsaber stuff, and Rey's using Kylo's saber, and I'm like, oh, my mind just blowing up. Yeah. There are lots of moments, but for me, but just because it hasn't been mentioned yet, that was incredible. I'm like, I'm actually sitting in my seat, and I'm actually murmuring under my breath.
Wetting
like,
your seat.
Oh, just like, this is effing awesome. I can't even, this is fantastic. Okay, now, once more around the table, I'm going to ask everybody, what are they, kind of keep it brief, but are you optimistic, and what are you hoping for in the future, and where it goes? So I'm going to swing all the way back around. I'm going to get to the host last, so I'm going to give it to Dave first. What are you thinking? Future of Star Wars or this saga?
Just quickly on the last thing.
Yep.
Luke, that last line he gives to Kylo, and he's like, he's totally channeling Han. He's like, you know, like, I'm always going to be around you. Yep. He's basically going, I'm going to haunt you like your father is right now. And I'll see you around, kid. That's the final kick of the ball. I see you around, kid.
Yep.
That's Han Solo.
Yeah.
He's handing it to him. That was my favorite moment of the whole thing. But I think, what was the question again?
Where do you see this saga going? Final thoughts.
Okay. This relates to the last scene with the kid with the brush.
Yep.
Is that scene a metaphor for what the story is going forward? Because Star Wars doesn't do metaphor. But, or is it a very literal, this kid is the new thing that we're going to see in the next film?
No.
Star Wars didn't do flashbacks either until that
scene is more J.J. Abrams than J.J. Abrams has ever done. Starlight and Moonlight and a kid standing there. That's more J.J. Abrams than anything we've ever seen.
That's setting up the one thing that Star Wars always set up, hope. And that's it.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, the whole spark rebellion, is it? The shining of the ring and the.
Awesome. Yeah. So Dave, where do you see it going? Do you think, like, obviously we're in for an awesome ending?
Basically off. It's going, if JJ has balls, it's going off the map.
Awesome.
But I think he might, because it's after unsettling so many people, I think he's going to go a little bit safe. He's going to go wild a bit, but he's going to land it a little bit safe.
Okay.
And that might be a good thing.
Okay, Rob Phillips.
What was the question?
Oh, shit. Adam, if you know what's good for you, you're going to say the same thing.
What do you? Well,
is this how podcasts are made?
No,
this is not. No, it's not.
That's all right, Rob. So, how do you see this heading off into the future?
I have no idea, to be honest, and I quite like it.
Awesome.
I honestly don't know where they're going to take it after this, and I don't mind. I'm up for it now, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know I said I didn't like The Last Jedi, but it is growing on me. And listening to the guys tonight, more of it's became apparent of what was going on. And yeah, I'm kind of happy.
Good.
I don't know where it's going to go. I've no idea. And I quite like that.
That's what the round table is. It's nothing if not therapeutic. That's what we're here for. Okay. Adam, where do you see this going? What are your future thoughts?
Well, I was very excited when the announcement came for JJ. So, as a lover of TFA, I can see Rey going forward with rebuilding the Jedi and looking for Force-sensitive children. Where are we going to see and how are we going to see Leia's demise and leaving the franchise and the saga? God only knows. I can see Poe stepping up into a general role. Finn, this has been an incredible build up, thanks to Talk Star Wars and everybody in the group, as well as Tumbling Saber and Generation X Wing and all the podcasts, and really building this up to where we're now at. And now we've all seen the film, the views are, as we know, spread across the board. So where it's going forward is just a completely open book, and I'm extremely excited.
Excellent. Awesome. Jay, what are your future thoughts on this saga?
Well, one thing this film really delivered for me on is Kylo. And I can't even imagine, but I can't wait to see where he goes. Because right now he gets basically the Vader power fantasy, right? Vader never killed the Emperor. He actually killed his boss. He gets to be the top guy now.
Yep.
So then we get to see what he does with that. He didn't get the full package, because just like, you know, the other schmuck before him, when Anakin tried to get Padme and he extended the hand, come with me, we'll rule the galaxy together, turned him down. Luke turned him down in Empire. Rey turns him down here. But at least now he gets to be the big cheese, right? And we get to see him probably just rot from the inside further and just become more evil. And we get to see, you know, maybe what Vader would have become had he have chosen the Emperor instead of Luke at the end of Jedi.
Right.
I'm also really interested in, Leia was talking about, they sent the beacon out for help in the Outer Reaches.
Yep.
That's the second time I've heard that mentioned this week. I hope I'm not spoiling too much for anybody here, but the new Battlefront DLC that came out,
yeah,
they send someone out to find friends in the Outer Reaches.
Yeah, they're doing some of that with Thrawn as well, man. Absolutely.
And I'm thinking, I don't know if it's Thrawn, but the fact that it's been mentioned in two different things that came out in 2 days, I am anxious to see where that goes.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Hey, Jay, can I just ask quickly, did you guys hear, like, Timothy Zahn was asked at some con about Thrawn and, like, kind of what he's doing? And Thrawn's like, he's out there basically, like, he's terrified of what's out there, and he's just in our galaxy trying to figure out which side is better capable to deal with what's coming. That's Thrawn's mindset. That's like what he's doing. And he would side with the rebellion or the resistance if he thought they were better equipped than the Empire or the First Order.
Phasma's the same, exactly the same if you read the Phasma book.
Yeah.
She just chose that side because they were winning.
He's coming and he's bringing Ezra with him for episode 9.
Yeah. There we go. Jay, you mean for a movie that was so divisive, you just landed it for the VIPs. That was, you stuck the landing for sure.
Yeah. That was perfect, mate. Yep. Perfect.
Now I'm gonna have to ask the hosts of other shows around the network.
You're gonna have to.
Yes. How rude. I'm sitting on Mark's dime here too, so that
contractually obliged.
Carlos, I'm gonna throw it to you first. What are you looking for in the future of this saga?
Okay, perfect. What I see, I think we're in line, and if JJ's smart about the cards he's been dealt, there will be a time jump here. Ooh. Because you don't want to go straight into another film without explaining what happened to Leia. A time jump is that.
Yeah.
So I see Poe as being the general of the new rebellion. Yep. I see Daisy Ridley less focused on the Jedi and rebuilding the Jedi and being part of that rebellion. You kind of get that when they meet on the Falcon, officially meet. And I see Finn as... Finn wanted to run. He wanted to run in The Force Awakens. He kind of wanted to run, although it being altruistic, to save his friend, to save Rey. I think now he's fully ensconced in the rebellion. He is now a rebel through and through. So I see him there. Kylo, I just see him growing more brutal and more ugly with time.
Mm-hmm.
He's irredeemable at this point. And I think that hopefully, like I said, if J.J. Abrams is smart and he takes whatever post-it notes Rian Johnson left on the table, he takes those and builds something that can be a springboard for Star Wars forever, as opposed to bringing, I'm not saying that we need to have an episode 10, 11, 12. I'm saying that there needs to be, it doesn't have to die.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to end.
Yeah.
It has to be that it lives on, and it could live on forever in that galaxy, in that universe.
Yep.
He has said he wants that this is the end of this Skywalker saga. That's what he saw it as being.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Luke is already gone. Leia's gone. Kylo's going to be dead.
By the way, we never brought this up.
Luke hasn't gone.
Our big fear gone, though.
I know. Luke is a Force ghost. I'm not saying that. I mean, Luke's presence in the galaxy as that. And Leia's going to be gone. They're going to have to write that in somehow. And Kylo is the last of the Skywalkers. That will end the Skywalker saga. But it won't end the galaxy, and it won't end the story.
Sure. Yep,
that's my hope. My hope is that it's just open ended, and we can all dream.
Yep. Okay. Well, you know what, Mark? Give me 1 second. I'm gonna just continue that thought because it kind of leads into what my final thought was gonna be. And I'm gonna Mark, you're gonna finish it up for us, because once this whole Disney thing came in, and now we're seeing all these books and games and comics and another trilogy and standalone movies, and I'm not an old man, I'm not sick, don't worry, I don't want to freak anybody out, but it suddenly dawned on me that I've been watching this for over 40 years, and there's a good chance these might outlive me. Oof. You know what I mean? And it sounds weird, but I was like always worried about, I gotta see that next movie, I can't wait till the next movie. And you know what, after this one, It's almost like I mentioned about torches being passed earlier, that, you know what, Star Wars, the OT Star Wars is dying, literally on screen, and literally, obviously, when we lost Carrie last year, and you know what, this moving on to the next generation is fine, it's okay with me after watching this movie. It sounds strange, but when we hear podcasters like our Skyhopper friends, you mean to see such passion for these movies and this new saga and new novels and everything else that's coming out, and seeing so people so young and just loving it so much, it gives me such hope for the future, but it makes it feel okay for us to be like, I don't have to be the guy defending the prequels in the bar anymore. You know what I mean? If it doesn't make any sense to anybody.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, completely.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, thanks for reminding me I'm going to die. That's cheesy.
Yeah, no problem. But no, it's just...
I like my films to remind me of my own mortality.
Yeah, but that's just it. But that's when you see Luke fade away, and it's like, you know what? That's okay. You mean, hey, I was so worried about, we got to see Luke do this, and I got to see him talk with Leia, and it's too bad we can't have the original three on the Falcon anymore. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay that we don't have that. We're being entertained, and it's setting up for the next generation. So after that big spiel.
Oh,
yeah. Mark.
I don't know where this saga can go after this. I went into this film on sure footing, thinking we had Snoke as our villain, and thinking that we had Kylo and Rey, and there was a shell game at play there. But Ryan's knocked me off balance with this movie. I don't know what to expect. Purely taking Snoke out of the equation has changed everything. I think all bets are off. I don't know where it's going to go. I know that we've got a couple of years to sort of speculate and immerse ourselves in that, which I find just as much fun as watching the movie. But all bets are off. I think it's important to remember that the distinction really between these two movies, if they're, you know, there's several things that make these films distinct in their own right. But when we lost Han, we all felt like this character had been taken away from us, and we were wounded after that movie. And now this is our quintessential hero, Luke Skywalker, has been removed from the saga. But we're told actually in dialogue in the film that this character's gone with peace and purpose. Yes. And it's kind of the way we need to continue on in Star Wars now. If this trilogy ends the Skywalker saga, and it's as far as it goes, we've gone with peace and purpose. They have an idea of what they want to tell us and what they want us to take away from this thing. And if we go into another trilogy of films, maybe we'll have to adapt and bear witness to something else. But right now, I'm willing to take my lead from The Last Jedi. Peace and purpose is the way forward. What's there, I don't know, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Awesome. Okay, well, you know what, guys? Thank you very much for another very exciting roundtable. I'm not going to go the whole rigmarole back around the table again. We've heard from everybody. And again, we apologize if there's any audio issues. We have a ton of people on this Skype call, so... But I am sure anybody that's listening will understand. So for Dave, Adam,
hey,
Rob, Jay, our VIPs, thank you so much. Carlos Candido, thank
been
you
for coming. An absolute pleasure. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for coming from
the Commonwealth.
I'm going to see you, David, Rob, and Carlos.
And Carlos, thanks for coming all the way from the Sister Servers and making a nice PG show.
We have some spawn of 19.
I almost slipped up a couple of times, but I was able to keep my the filter yeah. working properly for at least one day. And this guy's here, so JR, yes. Say hi.
Carlos,
hey JR, big fan.
And I'm actually excited now to go see the movie again after this talk. So
yeah, there we go.
There you go.
I hope you do, Jay, and I'd love to hear your thoughts when you do.
And also, just remember, guys, there's no doubt GIFs of Luke milking that monster are no doubt coming, if not already on the internet.
There's a lovely T-shirt in our store.
Yeah.
Blue milk is so lost in.
I cannot confirm this, but apparently the milk is green because they just changed it from blue milk to green milk because it was on Skellig and we're in Ireland.
Yeah.
I can't confirm that.
Is it Shamrock Shake?
That's the thing. Shamrock Shake. There you go. You just named it.
And that's why I do what I do.
The Tea Public.
Again, so thank you, Carlos. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say, Mark, this has been, we've been doing this. This is 13th episode. We've done one full calendar year. Thank you so much for letting me play in your sandbox and doing this roundtable and TSW Comics. It's been an absolute pleasure, and it's really, really made my year, and I love talking Star Wars. So thank you, good sir.
The pleasure is all mine. The pleasure is
Merry
mine.
Merry Christmas to you, Rob.
Merry Christmas to all you guys, and Merry Christmas to all our VIPs and everybody listening. And so until next time, we will see you on the roundtable.
If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, then head to patreon.com/talkstarwars and become a patron. Your support will help us as we expand our programming to include further shows, and in return, you'll get access to an exclusive VIP Facebook group, a monthly prize draw, weekly Facebook live sessions, priority release podcasts, an exclusive daily podcast, and a whole lot more. Head to patreon.com/talkstarwars today and become a TSW patron.